Hello, my name is Steve Elzinga, and I want to talk about how you can help couples get the sex life that God intended for them. Why is this whole topic needed? Just real quick, sex is more important, on the one hand, and less important than most Christians think. It's not everything. Your walk with God is the most important. What you're doing as a family is more important. And yet, God has made us physical beings, and He created us in His image, two different parts, and so somehow the whole sex role is part of how God has created us. Sex is more divisive than most Christian people think. It's not important. Couples often have different sex needs and drives, and because of that, there's often conflict. The different roles that we have as man and wife often pit one sex against the other. Sex is more exposed and hidden than most people think. On the one hand, we live in a culture where sex is everywhere. On the other hand, often as couples, we don't even talk about our sex lives and our needs, and we find it very difficult to talk about these things. So, how can you let the Bible help people that you're trying to help? Perhaps it's the people in your congregation. First of all, help them understand God's original plan. God made human beings, male and female. It says that God created us in His image. But then it says, male and female, He created them. We are made in the image of a triune God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then when He creates a human being, He does so in two parts. In Genesis chapter 2, it says that the two become one. The three in one, God as a Trinity, is reflected in the two in one. We are created to be rulers. We manage things. We were put in charge of the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, God creates the world in 6 days, and after every day, God looked at what He'd created, and He says, "It is good, it is good, it is good." On the sixth day, God creates the first man, and He says, "It is very good." But then in Genesis chapter 2, we read that the man is all alone, and God says, "It is not good." My wife is very fond of pointing out to me that it took the creation of a woman to make creation good. It is not good for a man to be all alone, and that's generally true. And so God creates a helper. It's translated helper, but that word that is translated helper, it's used very few times in the Old Testament. And most times the word helper is used of God, as in God is our helper and our strength. And I don't think we mean that God is our maid, and certainly that's not the meaning here. Man by himself is not complete, and he needs someone to complete him. And so the woman is created as a completer of man. It also says that no suitable helper was found. So God says it's not good that a man be all alone. And then it says no suitable helper was found. And then we have this whole naming of the animals things. And as if God and Adam were on the look for a suitable helper. And you know, so God parades all the animals in front of Adam. And you know, maybe started with the aardvark. And, you know, how about this one? No, that one isn't quite suitable. And through all of creation, all the animals parade before Adam. And none of them is suitable. And so God then puts the man to sleep, and He takes a rib from the man, and He creates the first woman. And then when Adam wakes up, he sees the first woman, and he says, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And what he's really saying is, "This is the one for me. finally, this is a suitable helper, someone that completes me. And then the text says something about leaving. The woman leaves her family and cleaves to the man. And then the last part of Genesis chapter 2 is the two become one. And that's not just a sexual thing. It's literally, the word means to take up the same space. Husband and wife take up the very same space. That the one's life is intersected with the other. What one is going through, the other one shares. Well, that was God's original plan in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Well, the next thing that you need to do with couples is to help them understand what went wrong. The original plan was perfect. Both Adam and Eve were naked. They felt no shame. They walked with each other. They walked with God. But then Genesis 3 comes along and the devil comes with his lies. He comes to Eve with a lie, and then Eve passes it on to Adam. We don't know exactly why they fell for the lie. They could be like God. Maybe they felt like they were missing out of something. But they take control and they eat the apple that they weren't supposed to. They disobey God. And two things happen after they sin. We don't know why exactly they sin. You know, you're in a perfect situation. You're in paradise. What more could you want? But yet they sin. We don't know exactly why they did it, but we know exactly what happened after they did it. There were two things that happened. They hid. They hid, first of all, from one another. They could no longer face each other in their nakedness, and they had shame, and there was brokenness, and there's distrust. And we've seen that ever since between human beings, and especially between husbands and wives. There's this brokenness that is there, and this hiding from one another. And the second thing they do is they hide from God when God comes around. And that's what sin does. It makes us hide from each other, and it makes us hide from God. The bottom line is now human beings, married couples, have this fear of being found out, fear that the other is going to find something wrong, you know, with me. On the one hand, there's that fear. On the other hand, there's this sense that I have to manipulate the other person to get what I want. That I'm going to be missing out. That I have to do things in order to control that other person and to give them the satisfaction that I'm looking for. So you need to help couples, first of all, understand that God created sex as a good thing. It was part of the perfect world. In fact, it's part of what makes us like God. But then sin has messed it up, and there's brokenness, and there's hiding, and there's manipulation, and there's control, and there's shame. So how do you help people get back to the garden? Sin has messed it up. God's original idea was good. So how in the world are we going to help people get back to the garden? And what I want to do in this next section is deal with the Song of Songs.